Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A, FAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom and greetings tonight, saints. Just bless you all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our King, our Savior, our Master. Just bless you all. Thank you all for being here tonight. If you would, please give me a sound check and let me know how I'm coming in. Hope everybody's enjoying the nice, beautiful day we had. Well, at least here in Tennessee. I can't say where you're at. Maybe in Canada, y'all probably still cold, Brother Ugly and Brother Steve. I'm sure it's probably still cold up there, but we're a little warmer down here. Nice day. No rain. Hallelujah. Praise y'all. The brothers were busy working on the land today, getting things done. I believe Pastor's probably making preparations to be coming to Canada this week. We'd ask you, saints, to keep our pastor in prayer. The Most High Yah watch over him and Sister Carol and Sister Nellie, the mothers, and keep them safe as they journey. And that Pastor also have a prosperous meeting and journey up there, visiting the saints and strengthening them. Hallelujah. Oh, it snowed this morning, huh, Brother Ugly? Wow. Well, hallelujah, get warmer. Praise y'all. I'm glad we don't have any more snow. Oh, hallelujah. Well, thanks. I just bless you all again. I'm your host tonight on this edition of the Brothers segment. I'm Deacon Bell. Again, thank you all for being here. And hope you all enjoyed the word yesterday, Pastor Minister. You know, he asked the question yesterday, what makes him extreme? You know, my personal belief is because he speaks, based off of Mark 1:22, because Pastor Dow speaks with authority, and with great boldness, and not as the scribes. So a lot of people view him as extreme because they're not used to a man of Yah standing up like that, like Pastor does. You know, not being a little weak, soft-spoken sissy like Joel Osteen or you could say like an acceptable preacher, like what's that man's name? Charles Stanley. You know, people that speak like that, but Pastor speaks with such boldness and authority I believe that's what makes the devils and folk cringe. You know, and he's unwavering, and very confident, and free in the Most High Yah. Oh, hallelujah! But tonight we're going to talk. The title of this blog talk is going to be blessed? Are you blessed or cursed? And it dealing with the mindsets. And then people get offended at the truth too. You know, speaking about pastor and the truth that he speaks, they get offended at that. Because they get cut by the word. So that's why he's extreme. But anyway, hallelujah. Glory to the King. Brother, if you would post in the chat, Proverbs 3:5, please. And I'm going to read it. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. know him in all your ways and make all your paths straight. I was reading that from the scriptures version, but in the King James it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, where does our own understanding take us, though? You know, when we lean on it. You know, like, for instance, if a pastor tells you to do something or any authority tells you to do something, you know, you may have something in your own mind that you want to do or you had a different idea. You know, years ago, a pastor used to say, no new ideas to us. And, you know, if you have, you know, so if you're told to do, let's say, for instance, if you're told to stack up all the wood in the barn. You know, we got a pile of wood. If somebody says, tell you that pastor or elder may say, hey, stack all that wood, brother, stack all that wood in the barn. And one brother has his own idea that he wants to, he wants to do his own thing. So I want to stack it over in the lean-to that we have for the wood. That's where it's supposed to go. And then he gets offended when he gets rebuked for not doing what he was told because that was all the old wood. We got new greener wood or wet wood coming that we're going to stack in the back. You know, stack all that, get all that in there first. Then we're going to take the wood out of the barn and put it in the lean-to. Well, because that brother had his own idea and what he thought was right, you know, of course he's going to get offended, you know, or upset because, you know, he wasn't listened to. Because he had his own understanding. Then you see that a lot, you apply that to anything, you know, because let's say, for instance, like you look at when Pastor brought up Naaman yesterday in 2 Kings 5. You know, Naaman had, you know, he thought that the man of Yahweh would come out and wave his hand over him and, you know, he'd get what he wanted that way, you know, get his healing from his leprosy that way. But instead, you know, he had to go and do contrary to what he wanted to do, you know, go dip in the dirty waters of the River Jordan instead of the clean water he'd rather have gotten in or something else, as opposed to, you know, having to do, you know, he wanted things his way. And the father, you know, didn't have the man of y'all tell him that. Told him to do what he wanted to do, but, you know, and told him to do what, you know, had the man of y'all speak the father's mind to him. And, excuse me. You know, of course, that upset Naaman. You know, he's a little mad. You know, got mad and everything. And after the servants told, you know, corrected him, told him, hey, look, you know, if you'd have said this, you would have done it. Why not this? You know, just come on, man, humble yourself. And a lot of times when we get offended, it's because of a lot of the pride that we have in our own self that will take us on the path of offense. Oh, by the way, we're talking about are you blessed or cursed? We're talking about really dealing with offenses tonight. Along that mindset, but think about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8:1. If you'll post that, please, Brother Ugly. And again, Brother Ugly, I do thank you and appreciate all that you do for us being co-host. We appreciate you and appreciate your Straightway News channel too. Y'all, thanks. Make sure y'all subscribe and support Brother Ugly. Hallelujah. But you know, you lean to your own understanding. That's when you start getting into trouble. You know, how many of us have ever come to the man of y'all, expect him to speak to us like we'd want him to? And I can tell you things. Many times I've come to pastor to ask him something, or I've been dealing with things. I'll come to him and ask him something or a question about something, and he has never answered me the way I thought he would. Never. And even praying the Most High Yah, the Father's never answered the prayer like I thought he would. You know, I had my prescribed way I thought would come, but of course, and it never goes that way, but I'm not going to sit here and get mad and offended at him. I'm just going, whatever, however things go, that's how they go. You know, you have to be such a control freak about things. But you know, but when you have your own mindset and your own ideas, you know, Paul said this about knowledge. Let me get there. Now, touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And he says this, knowledge puffeth up, you know, but charity edifies. So that knowledge that you have in your mind, the things that you think you know, they puff you up sometimes. And that's what gets you into trouble. You know, you have these presumptions and these ideas of how things should go. or what others should do. I mean, one time, Pastor gave an example. One time, if you needed something, or if you needed help with something, you should ask, as opposed to just assuming somebody is going to help you. Like one time, we had a brother. The pastor was in the gym, and another brother was in the gym. And the brother was struggling with the weight bar, and he didn't ask. I might be messing this story up a little bit, but he didn't ask. He didn't say, "Hey, help me get this bar off me. He couldn't handle the weight that he was bench pressing. I think he was bench pressing, if I'm not mistaken. And he struggled. Finally, I guess he got it off of him. He might have asked, "Hey, how come nobody helped me?" My pastor might have been the only one in the gym. I can't remember the story exactly, but he was a little upset that nobody helped him. But hey, brother, you got a mouth. Say something. People are standing there right next to you, but you're assuming they think that you're Caesar. He was assuming that somebody was going to help him, or they thought he was assuming that the brothers in there knew that he needed help, but he didn't say anything. And of course, scripture says you have not because you ask not. But you got a mouth, you can complain or get mad and get upset. Instead of doing all that, just say, "Hey, help him," since he didn't have a spotter. Just something to think on there, saints. But let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let me get there. Verse 61. This is Jesus and the disciples. Let me get there. Tell you what, let's start at verse 48, just to get the context. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And don't forget, we just partook of the Passover. Hallelujah. After the new year started, taking of his flesh, getting his life in us. "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever.' These things said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you?'" He knew his disciples upset. Hey, disciples, what you got going on? It's a hard saying, Master. You don't understand each other. Hard saying, who can hear this? We're not cannibals. We ain't going to eat you. Come on, man. What's going on here? They might have thought the Messiah had the spirit on. But they're murmuring at it. I guess they got upset. Then Jesus, like he said to them, "Does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, will you get offended at that too? You see me go up? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And a lot of times we don't, we'll get offended when we're in our carnal mind, our logical thinking mind, we'll get offended at spiritual things. You know, because our carnal mind can't perceive it, or we lack understanding. Really, because we lack hearing, you know, hearing with the ears of the flesh and not the ears of the spirit. You know, being spiritual people that we should be. Remember yesterday, Pastor did that example about with the radio knob and the hearing. One person's hearing him yelling, whatever, saying, you know, him blasting or whatever, how he did it. And then Nadia was hearing the right thing. Because the spirit's in tune. She wasn't getting offended at Pastor's mannerism. Especially a lot of women, especially, don't get offended at the man of Yah. You know, when they got to hear that they need to change, or how corrupt women are. You know, they take it the wrong way. Instead of taking that, hey, this man's telling the truth on me, on Sisters and Sisters broadcast, the sisters lay it out. So they can't hear the man of Yah. Then they got women saying the same thing, echoing. They don't have any excuse. You know, so people can get offended and dress things up any way they want, but, you know, it's all in the hearing. But you hear according to what's in your spirit, what's in your heart. And if you got a good heart, you got a good treasure, that heart's going to bring forth good. You're going to hear the word of Yah. Whether you're getting corrected, admonished, or exhorted, you know, praised, you're going to hear it the right way, as opposed to when your heart's corrupt and evil, the wrong way. All right. Well, hallelujah. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We'll read verses 1 through 14, Brother Ugly. Oh, hallelujah. And it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise." You know, getting people to get the job done. His vineyard needed to be harvested. "And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and says unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? You know, why aren't you working? I got something for you to do then. Then say unto him, they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also unto the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the master of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the first unto the last. And when they that came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny." Word is, they received, they were happy, what they agreed on. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny." And here's where it starts. "And when they had received it," what did they do? "They murmured against the good men of the house." They said, "Hey, man, wait a minute. You cheating us. You may say," well, they said, here's the murmuring, how they justify themselves, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." Said, "Man, we've been out here laboring all day for you. It's been hot out here, and you're going to, you know, we did all this work, and these guys come in and work just for a little bit of time, and you're going to pay them the same thing?" You know, they're justified in that murmuring, ain't they? How about some of us, brothers and sisters? Let me take on somebody's chat room here. Let's see, Brother Mike, Brother Samuel. Let's see, guest 71. How about you? You murmuring when you've been out working for the master now? You bring another brother in, let's say in the faith today, and he get the same salvation you get, the same Holy Ghost Spirit you get, the deliverance you get, and all of a sudden you upset? Let's see what our answer is here, what the master says. I'll just say this. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Brother Mike, I do you no wrong. Guest 71, I do you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? What you upset for? This is the agreement we made. Aren't you supposed to be happy with that? You're a man of your word. You said you'd work for that penny, which you did do, but now you're getting mad because I'm going to pay somebody else the same thing. But he says, take that as thine and go that way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. You know, get some more proof here. Is it not lawful for me to do that, to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So shall the first be last, and the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. But you know, you look at that murmuring spirit. How much murmuring do we have in our spirit, saints? That the Most High sees and has to deal with us all. You ever been in your prayer closet? The Father brings some of your sins that you use with your mouth to you, reprove you on it for your murmuring, your discontent. You know, but he did no wrong by paying them a penny. It's all in his hand. It was his to do with as he will. So we should be content. Learn not to murmur, though. Let's even like today. I mean, you know, we've been in this community for a long time. Community been going about 20 years or more. We got last hour laborers coming in, new saints coming in. You don't see none of the old timers getting mad because, hey, you guys getting the same thing we're getting. You don't get mad. The pastor preaches the same word to y'all that he preached to us. You know, we should get upset that you know, that the saints in Canada getting pastor this week coming up there. Hey, why the man of y'all got to go up to Canada? Why can't you stay home? You need to stay here, you know. But the Father sending them up there to give them the word, like he sent them to Detroit, Michigan, dealing with those devils who couldn't hear up there, along with feeding the sheep. What'd you say, Brother Ugly? In other words, even those who repent at this last minute receive salvation, get the same reward as those who repented 20 years ago and have been living holy ever since? Yeah, that's right. They get the same thing. The Father's not respecting their person. No, he's righteous in his deal. Well, hallelujah. Let's go to, you know, of course, you know, you think about this, though. You know, our offenses cause us to murmur. You've been discontent about something? I don't care what it is. If it was raining, you get discontent. If it was, you know, snowing, you discontent because of the weather. I mean, what's gonna make you happy? Nothing. You got a murmuring spirit, you ain't gonna be satisfied with nothing. A lot of people get offended and upset because of just like I said earlier, because things don't go their way. But you know, but our offenses will cause us to murmur. They bring out the offenses bring out your murmur. You know, you go talk to somebody about what you're mad about. You know, spitting in their ear, getting contaminating them. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17:9. And it reads, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, don't forget that, saints. You know, of course, you know, it's everybody else's heart, not mine, not yours. Everybody else, you know, brother and sister sitting next to you, or brother and sister on the other side of the world. But you know that don't include you. Most I didn't see your heart when he had that scripture written and he inspired the prophet with that word. Of course, the people probably felt that same way when Jeremiah had to preach it to them. You know, my heart ain't deceitful, and my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, who can know it? You know, I know mine. Well, you know yours till you get tested, till you get tried. Does something cause you to murmur? Yeah, Brother Ugly, your heart. Dr. Pick on Brother Ugly, he don't get offended. And if I say something to you, Brother Sam, you don't get offended? Tell you your heart deceitful and desperately wicked too? Everybody in the chat room talking to you too? Everybody else? Me too? Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked? But you do find out what's in it when things happen, though, don't you? When you start getting tried? These things start manifesting themselves. You know, you're going through something. You know, you're offended because y'all healed your brother or your sister, but you hadn't been healed yet. You're offended at y'all. Like Pastor said, you know, about being able to discern and find out what you missing it at or meeting y'all's conditions. Like he's been teaching us in his prayer. And he's been preaching on prayer and everything. You know, so that way the adversary don't have a case against us. And you know, hey, what's blocking my healing? Well, you're still wicked. You haven't repented right. The enemy still has a case against you. Oh, hallelujah. Let the devil go, bud. Hallelujah. Let's see. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 14:10. You know, but thank y'all. He's able to, he tries to help me read that. Say, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, so thank y'all. He tries our hearts. They're able to show us that, they're able to see that wickedness that's within us. You know, you think about it. When pastors minister in the word, you know, he starts throwing it out there. You know, he's a sower, sowing the seed, you know. He starts throwing the word out there, and like he always says, you know, that dog to get hit, that's the one that, you know, that dog that barks, the one that got hit. How many times your dog barks when you get hit? You know, you get that high-octane ping, and you get jacked up when you're hearing the word. You know, do you take that, say, oh, man, that's something I got to get right. My heart's wicked, you know. That's a good time for you to get offended. That the man of Yah, well, Yah, just because of what's said, you know. There's a lot of things that said that you're not going to like, but you don't have to like it. You just acknowledge the truth and go on with Yah. He ain't here to please us, to make us happy. He's here to make us conform to his image, help us to get his mind. You know, because we do want to be able to stand before him in the day of judgment, saved without nothingness that offends him. So if you get offended, that is nothing. You better hope he ain't offended at you. He won't cast us out. And Proverbs 14:10 says, the heart knoweth his own business, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. So you know your own the business of your own heart, saints? Sure you do. What you've been mad about? What kind of anger you've been hiding, boiling in there? You know, Pastor talked about rebellion yesterday. You know, you got quiet rebellion and open rebellion. So what's the business of your own heart that you are holding in, hiding, not dealing with righteously, you know, not taking it the prayer and all the Father to cleanse you, you know, that word business, you know, you got some definitions there. Numbers in Hebrew 47:87 and 47:86, you know, it means to be troubled, but you post that in there for me, be troubled. Bitterness, you know, trouble and grief. Some of the definitions, I wrote a couple of them down, but not the whole thing. But so, you know, so the bitterness of your heart is the things that you're troubled by. You know, nobody, you know, people can look at you from the outside, but they don't always see what's going on. They can't always discern or see what's going on the inside and of a truth. Let me just say that. No, you know, Pastor, you know what's going on with you. See, he knows what's going on in your spirit. So don't think you're hot. But, you know, we do hold a lot inside these portable temples that we walk in. Let me read this. Hold on, Brother Ugly got it. You know, trouble, bitterness. Bitterness is one of it. Okay. Yeah, former 4786, trouble, bitterness. That was in the, what was that one? The Brown Driver's definition. Bitterness that is figuratively trouble or grief. You know, so you got that trouble and grief working in you. But what's that? What's that producing in your spirit? You know, your heart knows its own business. But you know, you leave that business within you. What's it gonna do on the inside of that body? Is that healthy for you? Is being offended healthy for you? Is being is murmuring healthy for you? You know, when you think about murmuring, you know, murmuring brings, you know, that type of environment. You know, this person who's always complaining, murmuring, bringing all that negativity around you. You know, you need to ask yourself something. When you're around people who have a whole lot of negativity and do a whole lot of murmuring and complaining, you know, slandering and gossiping and backbiting, you know, why are they so comfortable around you doing that? You need to ask yourself, well, you know, Why are you such a good habitation for the devil to come around and slid up next to and wrap his arm around you and start whispering them sweet little nothings of his complainings, his murmurings, you know, his bitterness in your ear, and you readily receive it. So you go out and poison somebody else with it. You know, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, whoever you go to. They got a wicked ear to listen to you. Hey, let's go to Hebrews 12:15. Stuff's a poison. Makes cancer in the body. Stuff will kill you. Definitely killing you spiritually. And then you wonder why you have no peace? You trouble on every side? You grieve? And you're also grieving the Holy Spirit with that mess in you. Let's learn to love Yah. Let's walk holy. Possess our vessels. Amen. I just lost my scripture. Help. Hebrews 12:15 reads, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of Yah, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, when you got that bitterness working in you, you don't care what you say, you go and talk around it, talking to anybody, saying anything. That's how many get defiled, you know, because you got your offense. That you're mad about something, or you're upset about something. So you start going around talking to folk, saying things you ought not. You know, say for instance, you get rebuked by a pastor or an elder or something. You know, you brother or sister, you may go find somebody to go justify yourself to. Really, you're just trying to protect that wickedness within you. Instead of getting right, you go around spewing somebody there, trying to get them to take your side, getting an adversary. You know, somebody to get strength to that wicked way that's within you. It's better just to turn from it, take the admonishment, take the correction and turn, as opposed to, you know, going around and being in your bitterness and your offense and taking your brother or sister down that same road with you. You know, that old saying goes, you know, misery loves company. And you don't mind making somebody else miserable with your company when you spew your bitterness and offense out in their ears. My hope is, I hope they rebuke you and get you away from them. Maybe you can be recovered. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms chapter 50. Yeah, Psalms 52. Psalms 52, verse 3. So we'll start verse 2. No, going back to Hebrews 12:15, thus is looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of Yah. You know, how much time do you spend diligently looking at them things, that bitterness that's within you, that troubles your heart? You know, if you got bitterness within you, come on, hey, that's not something that's good. I can tell you, that's not something that's good. I don't see many a bitter person fall, an offended person fall. Because I've been defiled by it. But anyway, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. I'm really coming to verse 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. You know, that tongue that's speaking out your offenses, your bitternesses, the things you're mad about, upset about, get pissed off at, things you want to murmur about. You know, love those devouring words, don't it? Remember when our people went to the land of Egypt? I mean, not the land of Egypt. When they're going when the spies, the 12 spies were sent out to go look into the promised land, spying out the promised land. All but two came back with an evil report. And then, The two spies that came with the good report, everybody wanted to stone them after the evil report was delivered, you know. So it's easy to jump on that bandwagon with the bad as opposed to the good. I mean, yeah, you know, Yah was all people's defense and their shield, and he was the one fighting the battles for them. But the wicked spies, you know, poisoned the people, so they couldn't even go up into the land. That was the end of it. You know, they had to end up having to turn around and go back into the wilderness, because they, even at that, when the father told them to go do that, they decided they wanted to go up and fight. Then they found hard after they heard the father's judgment. Hey, look, you're going to die in this wilderness because you're afraid to go up. Your unbelief. Well, I told you to go up and take the land, and now you're going to go, now you're going to defy me again, and go fight the enemy. Of course, they got smitten and still had to go in the wilderness. But, you know, but Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. Yeah, brother, I was the only ones who had faith. But what you got faith for? Hoping that dead works faith either, like, you know, Pastor was talking about, you know, because faith without works is dead. So let's do something. You know, if you know you got bitterness in your heart, you know, these things that's in your heart that's causing you all this trouble, all this grief, grieving the Holy Spirit within you, don't just acknowledge and say you know that. Exercise some faith and do something about it. Get some deliverance. First of all, repent. Confess that sin. You think about the sins of the fathers, like Pastor was teaching us. You know, how to get free, even praying. You know, some of us believe, some of us did. The ones who didn't believe in praying that, you ain't going to get nothing from y'all. You're not going to get no freedom. You're not going to get none of that load of the iniquities of your fathers pulled off of you and your own iniquities that you made yourself too. But it's better to have faith. When Jesus comes, is he going to find faith? All right, let's go to Sirach 19:16 or Ecclesiasticus 19:16. Yeah, that's right, brother. We all know better today with our lack of faith. But thank y'all, we got to preach. Hallelujah. If we can hear many of y'all's preaching. You have to hear, let them hear. All right. So right, Ecclesiastically 19:16. There is one that slippeth in his speech, but not from his heart. Who is he that hath not offended with his tongue? And that's something to think about too. You know, a person may slip with their speech. Slipping in his speech, but not in his heart. And who has not offended with his tongue? Yeah, who has not offended with their tongue? Can you tame your tongue, brothers and sisters? Is your tongue tame? Is yours tame, brother ugly? Can you keep it from saying things you really don't want to say? Or being like Job before the Father, when the Father was talking to him, Job finally had to put his hand over his mouth and tame his tongue because he couldn't get it to shut up. But you know, one that slips in his speech, but not in his heart. At least that one will get it right. You may have said the wrong thing speaking, but at least he'll get it right, or she'll get it right. And they'll bring forth fruit of repentance. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. But before we do that, saints, I'm going to take a quick break here. Let me get a drink of water. My throat is dry. Let's put on Sister Wenda.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, saints. Bless you all again. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. Talking about our adversary, huh? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Yah said, you shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden. Now, first of all, this conversation should never have taken place anyway. The woman shouldn't have been talking to this serpent. How many times does the serpent come whisper in your ear when something's offended you? Like, hey, you know, well, pastor shouldn't have said that about you. You know, your brother should have done this for you. You know, what he didn't do, you know, brother James said, you know, he's gonna, he's gonna pick you up at 8, but he ended up getting there at eight on 1, you know, because he got stuck in traffic. But but you're justified to be mad at him because he didn't pick you up on time, you know, or Sister Andrea, your brother Robert ate the last orange in the refrigerator, and you wanted it, but he ate it. So, you know, so now you're justified being angry and bitter towards your husband and offended at him because, you know, he ate the food that you were going to eat, you know. Or your child inadvertently broke your last pair of glasses and now you're dealing with hatred towards your child because your glasses are broke. You know, the servant said, telling you, hey, you know, you're justified. You can do all that. Of course, you know what the word says. You know, we shouldn't be having this hatred towards your brother or your sister in your heart. But why we entertain him when he comes? You know, we know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Actually, I got that there. The thief comes for not what to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And by entertaining him, listening to him, letting him feed you, he's destroying you. You ever think that getting discontent or getting offended is a working destruction on your soul, on your mind, on your nefesh? I got something I'm going to read to us here in addition to what I got, but I'll get to that in a few minutes here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. I think that's it. Numbers 21. The instance my people murmured. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, going around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against Yah and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And Yahweh sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against Yahweh and against thee. Pray unto Yahweh that he take away the serpents from us. And of course Moses prayed for the people. And Yahweh said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and let it come to pass. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on the pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now you see there, a quick judgment came on people for murmuring, speaking against, you know, the Most High and against the man of Yah. You know, I think y'all remember that video Elder Rufus did about speaking against the man of Yah. You got a lot we need to take heed to, saints. Not just the man of Yah, speaking against Yah too. So again, murmuring, complaining, you know, get you destroyed. You know, the people are discouraged. Why can't they just be encouraged? I mean, you got the Father. You got a cloud by day, the fire by night. But yet but it's the food. You know, they murmured because of the food they had to eat. You know, we don't got no water. And I'm tired of eating this man. You know, why we got to eat spaghetti every day, Pastor Dow? Y'all, you hate us because we got to eat spaghetti for the next 2 weeks. Well, hey, if we're not time of tribulation, just be glad you got something to put in your belly. Instead of getting mad and complaining, murmuring and offended, hey, you got something to eat. And I don't know what the Father may have in store for us when that time may come. We may never suffer hunger. I don't know. But if we do, I hope we've learned from these examples. Have that word that's in us, so that when that thing within you wants to murmur, you're able to quell it. Deal with that in my own self at times. So it'll make you want to get mad and frustrated, lash out, or just say what you'll need to say. Tell someone, say, hey, boy, you better shut your mouth. So we ain't going there. Tame that flesh. Tame that inner man within you. That old man will rise up in a minute. You give him place. And get you down the road you don't want to be on. Be in trouble with the Most High. You don't want that to happen. Let's go to, let's see where I got my thing here. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Okay, we'll read up a little bit. We'll start with let me go up a little bit. We'll start here. Okay, we'll start at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, Yah was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. So when you're getting tempted and tried with situations, saints, you know, you ain't just trapped in it. There is a way of escape. You don't have to, when you're getting tempted, to join the hen party that's spewing all the negativity, murmuring and complaining. You can easily get up and walk away. So you ain't just stuck. Well, I had to sit there and murmur and complain with all the sisters who are murmuring and griping, just bitching about everything. You know, I just had to get that off my chest. I just had to complain. You know, it felt good to let all that out. Yeah, sure did, but you shouldn't have done it. Well, the reason why it felt good is you gave place to the devil. He's pressing on you. He's pushing your own button, helping you to spew it out. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Saints, are we justified in our murmurings and our complainings? You know, and our offenses that make us speak out this stuff, you know, because you know, when you get upset, you want to just view out stuff that you don't need to. Why can't you just drop on your knees and just say, Father, I'm wicked. Help me. Knowing that your mindset is wrong. All right. Luke 17:1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come, you know, the channel, the vessel, the open door, the one that's getting it started. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn unto thee, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And so you can sit there and be offended. Then you're going to forgive him. Now you can't watch. Make sure there's fruit of repentance. But you know, when you go back to that part, it's better for him than a millstone will hang about his neck and he cast into the sea. They should offend one of these little ones. How about when you know you got your own heart, your heart's business is spewing out of you? And you got those who are weak in the faith listening to you. You know, those are the ones who don't have enough sense to rebuke you, reprove you, or correct you, or get up and just walk away from you. But they're there and they're taking that all in, all that mess you spewing out in, and it's offending them, destroying their soul. Because they're tanking up on all your business. All your trouble, all your grief that you weren't justified in. But to you, it's right, and it's okay to do it because, you know, you feel that way. Because it's all about you. Now you got blood on your hands. So when we get in these states where we're bitter, upset, you know, speaking about our negativity, all our heart's trouble, you know, just fumbling out our shame, you need to take heed. You know, I don't care if you got to tie your tongue in a knot, just shut your mouth. Shut that power hole. Put a sock in it. And stop destroying your brothers and sisters. You know, don't be a cancer in the body. All right, let's go to Matthew 7. Oh, by the way, saints, are we blessed or cursed? We got to go to Deuteronomy 28. Don't let me forget, Brother Ugly. I didn't write it on my paper here, but I just remembered. But are you blessed or cursed with your mindset? You know you're blessed if you got peace. You're cursed if you don't have it. You're blessed if you got hell. Cursed if you don't have hell. All right. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. You shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You know, the amount of judgment you put on it, you'll get the same. You give somebody a full cup, you'll get a full cup back. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own? You know, you hypocrite, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, it's amazing how, you see what's wrong with your brother or your sister, but you can't see what's wrong with your own wicked self. You know, it's hard to see yourself. If it's that bad, you can't see yourself, go ask somebody about you then. But again, the heart knows its own business. You know what your troubles are. You know what your issues are. You know what's wrong with you. He's judging everybody else, looking at them, and telling them, hey, look, you this. I hate seeing you smile all the time. Why I hate hearing you sing? Why are you so happy, brother? Why are you so happy, sister? Sister Deidre, why are you always playing that harp? It makes me sick. Because I ain't got no joy. I can't make a joyful melody. My brother Sammy, why are you always happy and joyful, brother? I can't stand that, man. That's what's wrong with you. Don't you know that? That's the reason for all my trouble? And Brother Ugly, your bow tie, if I can see that thing one more time, I'm going to go off. I mean, that thing offends me. But, you know, I'm going to judge you because you wear that bow tie. Not knowing that that's my own personal pet peeve. I hate bow ties. Actually, I don't think nothing about them. But in truth, but why we got to point out everybody else's moats, but we can't see our beam that's in our own eye, the thing that blinds us to us, our own transgression, our own faults that we don't deal with. You know, Pastor said something interesting yesterday when he said that about thanks, Brother. Oh, that's Brother Jermaine. Yeah, that's right. about the sins of our fathers. Yeah, and pretty much, you know how we, you know, if you got children, how you can mold them in that, or like how we were molded in the sins of our own fathers. We learn those ways. And we bring them with us, and we pass them on to our own seeds. You know, like that old saying goes, that you just like your daddy. And in a lot of cases, that ain't a flattering thing. But at least if you hear that, and you know, if you know your father, and you know some of the wicked ways he got, some of the wicked things that were passed down, then at least now you got a target to take to breaking curses, breaking generational curses off yourself that's been passed down to you. But again, let's not judge our brothers and sisters. Let's discern our own selves. See what's going on in us, and then maybe after we get ourselves right, our brothers and sisters won't be so wrong. All right, let's see. Let's go to Matthew 24:12. Let me get there. And of course, I went to the wrong chapter. Excuse me. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now you look at that iniquity abounding in this generation, all this lawlessness abounding. You know, we ought to thank y'all, brothers and sisters and fathers, teaching us how to not allow iniquity to be abounding in us anymore. You know, we're going to be without excuse in the day of judgment, too. When we stand for the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be without excuse as far as having any iniquity within us, especially stuff that we knew that we should, and we had time to get right, and we did, you know, get these iniquities under the blood and get ourselves cleansed from it. The prayer pastor has been teaching us. I mean, there's no excuse. The way he's shown us how to pray. There's no excuse to have anything in between our soul, our nefesh, and the saved. No excuse. Because this iniquity is growing in this generation and this wicked time that we're in. And you see it everywhere you go. And this wicked and perverse generation. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read verses 17 and 18, then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 18. Oh, hallelujah. Praise y'all, saints. Praise y'all. You know, he's good to us, saints. Ain't he? He's good to us. He loves us. That's why he's given us everything, the things he's given us. Allow us to see what the things that he wants us to see so he can cleanse us. Like Pastor said yesterday, you know, the parents are left for the children, not the children for the father, not the children for the parents. And you see what the father's laid up for us. He gave us his word, give us the man of Yah to feed us with knowledge and understanding, to help us, to help make us holy and acceptable in his sight. And so we can receive that expected end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. But when we got this hope, we got to purify ourselves. Even as he is pure. Oh, where was I going? Okay. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Plus, read it all in context, as you all know. I'm just going on. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And verse 1 says, 2 Corinthians 7:1 saying, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, affecting holiness and the fear of Yah. You know that some of that filthiness of our flesh and our spirit, our murmuring, our complaining, the things that we're offended about, all that negativity we spew out, discontentment. Let's cleanse ourselves from that. You know, perfect that holiness in the fear of Yah. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living Yah. You in that state, you want to be in the hands of Yah when you all wicked and jacked up like that? No. No, you don't. There's only one end for that. You will hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, let's go to Exodus 20, where the commandments are. We're going to read verse 5. And it reads, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy, hallelujah, unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, guard my commandments. So let's not remember, let's not forget, you know, he's going to visit the iniquity. And in the time we have, you know, we're not hard in our hearts in the day that we hear his voice. You know, we the children of Yah, you know, we're cleansing ourselves from these iniquities that the Father's been leading us and showing us what to do, even the more so. All right, let's go to Matthew 25, verse 41. And it reads, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then we go to Luke 13:27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence you are, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So, workers of iniquity, you're going to have to depart from the presence of the king. You're not going in. Now, let's read let's go to Titus chapter 2. We'll read verses 11 through 14. For the grace of Yah that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And what's the good work we should be zealous of? Getting these iniquities dealt with, getting ourselves cleansed from them. You know, but going back to verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. You know, that soberness we operate in is being aware of our state, of our being, and knowing what we need to be cleansed from, or learning what we need to be cleansed from. You know, that way we're not frustrating the grace of Yah. It's actually having that work in us. You know, it's bringing that salvation to us. There's a period to us. The Father's showing us. We ain't got that sloppy grace where, hey, I'm in 1 minute, out the next minute, and sinning like hell every day. You know, like they teach in the Christian church, or maybe in these camps out here too. Hey, it's all right to break the commandments. So, we're gonna sin every day. No, you don't have to sin every day. You don't have to be wicked. You don't have to be ungodly. You got power over sin. Like Pastor talks about the law. Excuse me. We're delivered from the law of sin and death. So we're not under the power of sin. We're not a servant of sin. That corruption don't have to have power over us. We got power over it through the blood. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Let me get there. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read verses, wait a minute. We're going to read verses 45 through 47. Of course, thanks if y'all would take time and go back and read all of that chapter and just get a good understanding there. Because we're blessed if we obey and we're cursed if we disobey. So we'll read verse 45 of Deuteronomy 28 through 47. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And it shall be unto thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, visiting that iniquity, because thou servest not Yahweh Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. That's his judgment. So let's make sure we keep ourselves out of the curse realm. Let's deal with the generational curses that are working in us. Those scriptures listed out. I'm not gonna read all of it to us tonight, but you find that these curses are overtaking you in different areas of your life. Let's get them dealt with. Let's get these devils cast out. Let's get these curses broken. And let's get more freedom. He's placed our feet in open places. And the reason why I went this way, offenses and dealing with are you blessed or cursed, because you look at your mind. If your mind's fully ingrained in that way, maybe the curse you got on you for to have to always be offended so easily or stay in a state of offense all the time. Or to be so negative, or to murmur, having that type of mindset is not a blessing. So is your mind blessed or cursed, brothers and sisters? You discern. I'm gonna read y'all something out of a PDF I came across. This is talking about the man wrote a book. He's talking about cancer. I guess he's some type of minister. It kind of reminds me of Henry White. The way he ministered and things like that. But anyway, let me read this to you. The title of the one part is Wellness of the Body. And Brother Ugly, if you would, post in the chat. Where'd it go? Post in the chat. 3 John verse 1, chapter 3 John 1, 2. I'm going to read this. Wellness of the body does not mean feeling or looking good. In its strictest sense, it means being disease-free. As you've already seen, the condition of our spirits and our souls influence the health of our physical bodies. Pastors taught us that too. No one at any given time can say with 100% certainty that he or she is disease-free. However, you can consider yourself well in body if you have none of these signs and symptoms. And I'm going to read them to you. Decreased energy, flatulence, quotations, gas and bloating, poor digestion, weight loss or weight gain, unclear thinking, headaches, sinus problems and or allergies, aches and pains anywhere in the body, memory disturbance and poor concentration, irritability and sleep disorders, changes in skin color, blotches or skin color, blotches or skin discoloration, new growths on the skin, eye discoloration, dark circles or puffiness under eyes, streaks and ridges to the fingernails, dark convoluted blood vessels under the tongue, any medically diagnosed illnesses, the presence of toxic substances and diseases in our bodies cause our glands, organs, and immune system to malfunction. Malfunction is expressed in disease processes. A weakened immune system cannot protect us from developing cancer and other illnesses. Compared to 50 years ago, there are now over 400 formerly non-existent toxins to which our bodies are, I think it says now exposed. I ended up cutting that part off. I missed it. But anyway, you see all the symptoms, saints. And I'm going to read 1 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So, saints, I pray we all are prospering or on the path of prosperity as our souls are prospering, our nefesh. And if your health is in question, or you're suffering anyway, discern the Lord's body in you. Examine yourself. Seek the Father to help you see what's going on with you. But you need to be able to discern it and see what's going on so that you can be healed. Find out what's blocking you from getting healed. Get it dealt with. Deal with it. And then you prosper in health as your soul prospers. We don't want to just deal with the natural and not deal with the spiritual. Of course, out there in the world, that's all they want to do. Take every herb, every pill, just everything out there dealing with the natural. You get a lot of people out there who do get healed from stuff, but they're healed physically, but spiritually they can still be sick. Somebody might out in the world heal themselves with some herbs from cancer or something, or just whatever they may use. Or even, just different things they take, stuff that's out there. But they don't deal with the spiritual sickness or the iniquities. And that same sickness get passed down to their seed. They may not even die from that thing that they got healed from. But it's still going to be in their family line, their bloodline. And we want all these curses out of our bloodlines, those things. All this sickness out of us, the spiritual sickness, the corruption out of us. So that we can be, pure and holy. Acceptable to the Most High. He prepares to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, for Him. He said to David, what house are you going to build? So what kind of house we got while we're building these temples we're walking around in? Is it an acceptable house for the Most High to dwell in? Or is he walking around in it and said, damn, this house is messed up. I wish they'd do something about it. Or is he so grieved with your body, he got to get out of it? You grieve the Holy Spirit and he leaves because you refuse to deal with your spiritual issues. You won't discern the body. You won't discern yourself. Look at yourself. Get in that mirror. That word's a mirror. And the Father gives us plenty of meat to be able to see ourselves, discern ourselves. Well, anyway, saints, I hope this has helped you in some way. But I do pray that you all do prosper and be in health, spiritual health. But remember, saints, to continue to send back curses. That can be another way things come on you too, on us. The enemy has his witches out there, his devils out there sending curses on the body of Christ, because we're in a war. Don't forget, we're in a spiritual war. And, the enemy's going about seeking whom he can devour. But, so stay prayed up. Keep sending, breaking curses and sending them back on the enemies. Keep the man of Yah in prayer, all of them, Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, the elders, all the leaders, and each other, too. Let's keep the prayers going up. Let's keep the enemy on the run. Anyway, I do bless you all. Thank you all for coming tonight and being here. And I pray that you are edified. And just continue to walk in peace, saints. Remember to keep Pastor lifted up as he's be traveling to Canada. And saints, y'all, saints, you in Canada, just receive the man of y'all and enjoy him. Let the Father minister to you. All right. I bless you all and thank you. And I'm going to bid you shalom and good night.